Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The summer months with children can often feel like you're running a small cafe. Such is the extent of snack requests. But how often should you be dishing out the nibbles? And what is a filling, healthy option? Louise Reynolds is a dietitian with the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. She joins me in studio now. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Philip.
Is the INDI weakening in the face of the enemy, about to cave into snacks? I always thought that the message was no snacking between meals.
No, well, when we certainly would have grown up, with no snacks, three square meals a day. But now, really, snacking during the day, particularly for younger children, it can be a good way to top up their energy requirements and keep them going during the day. However, I think we've swung a little bit to the other side, where now, as you said, it's like running a cafe. It's constant, the grazing. It's going in, into the fridge, into the cupboards, pulling out drawers just to see if children are bored and at home they're eating. So definitely snacks can be useful, but it's the right type of snack. But some people will say, oh no, I have a full breakfast, I don't eat anything mid-morning, and then I have my lunch. And if that works for them, that's fine too. So snacks are fine. It's just the types of snacks.
No two children are the same. No advice is going to fit every scenario. Absolutely. But what's the optimum number of snacks in a day?
Well, really, you know, it depends as well. In the summer, children might be getting up later. OK, so we're talking about kind of school age. Obviously, very young children, you'll still be waking up at the crack of dawn. They don't realise it's summer holidays. But once you get to kind of school going children, they might sleep a little bit later. Having a breakfast when they get up is really important. And then, you know, if you're having lunch planned, whether you're at home or whether you're out or whether children are going to camp, in the middle of the morning, that's when things like fruit, yogurt, a slice of toast, crackers and cheese. They're the types of snacks that if a child is hungry, will keep them going. The only thing is, when you're at home during the summer, there might be lots of ice cream in the freezer. There might be bags of crisps. There might be, you know, less healthy snacks, pizzas in the freezer that teenagers are throwing into the oven at 11 o'clock in the morning if they're getting hungry. That's when you need to kind of say, oh, hang on a sec, let's just reevaluate this.
And this is the point at where I am an absolute fascist. And I say, well, if you're hungry, there's an apple in the fruit bowl and that will take care of your hunger.
Absolutely.
And I don't care what and else problem, you might like.
Exactly. And the problem as well is if children are eating very large snacks or the wrong types of foods, when it does come to lunch or dinner time, they're not hungry. So, you know, they've filled up on the unhealthy snacks. So sometimes, exactly, if it's coming close to a meal time and if a child comes in and says, what time is dinner, or I'm really hungry, you know, have a glass of milk, have a piece of fruit. You know, I suppose an apple is nice and crunchy and refreshing. It mightn't fill you up as much. Maybe a banana is a little bit more satisfying, you know, or have a yogurt and then lunch, dinner will be in a little while. But again, it's this thing of if children are constantly grazing and then you put the dinner up and they say, I'm not hungry. And that just drives everybody crazy because parents are you know, kind of preparing meals. So it's a matter of getting the balance right and having the right types of snacks and not kind of caving into having the biscuit drawer just constantly grazing all day long, because that's not good for children, for their overall energy intake, for their nutrient intake, and not good for teeth either. So that's another issue.
No, indeed. I mean, I have heard recently of people referring to their snack rooms as opposed to the snack cupboard.
Okay. Which just I haven't heard of a snack room, so I'd be interested to see what's in there.
One top tip that I have heard years ago is, in addition to the apple, give them a little fistful of nuts, and the complement of carbohydrate and protein will take care of those hunger pangs. What else, though? What other options other than the apple are there?
OK. And also, the apple and nuts is a good one. Peanut butter on an apple is actually really nice as well. No, it is. Try it. Don't knock it till you've tried.
Never.
No, definitely. I'll bring that in the next time, Philip. But also things like, you know, vegetable sticks. So carrot sticks, children often like those. But if they're prepared, they're not going to start peeling a carrot. But if you have them prepared in the fridge with something like hummus or dipping into a little bit of cream cheese, or maybe small, you know, mashed banana on a slice of toast or a slice of brown bread, you're getting the carbohydrate there, which is going to keep children going. Also, you know, the idea of protein, so from dairy foods, so milk, cheese or yogurt will give you a good source of protein as well as lots of nutrition. So that's going to be satisfying. So again, you know, just cubes of cheese with some fruit, grapes and cheese cubes, or cheese and crackers. Or again, if children are a little bit older and they are in the kitchen, put on a slice of toast and have a little bit of cheese on that, or have a glass of milk.
Do you know
cereal as well? Sorry, I should mention.
Do you know what the implicit message in what you're saying there is? a snack doesn't have to be sweet. It can be savoury.
It can be savoury. Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you buy snacks for children and they have a packet, colourful packaging with a cartoon character on it, you know, very often those snacks are pre-packaged, pre-prepared, you know, you can probably, and expensive, they're going to be more expensive to buy and stock up on those as well. And very often, they're not going to be the most nutritious choice. So you can just go back to your fridge and when you're doing your supermarket shopping, buy more of the fruit, veg, carbohydrate foods, which are, you know, breads, pastas, pasta salads as well are something that you can keep in the fridge and children like those. You can also go for things like a cereal, high fibre cereal. So you're going to get the milk on it. So if children like the kind of wheat biscuit type cereals, they can have those during the day. And that's very filling, nutritious, more fibre. So it doesn't have to be something coming out of a shiny packet. And again, if you've gone down that road and you feel that your children are heavily reliant on those types of snacks, you know, it can be challenging to row it back, but it can be done. You can kind of say, OK, listen, we're, you know, first of all, don't have them within reach. Also, there's a lot of research to show that what is in your line of vision, you're more likely to eat. So put the fruit bowl on the table. Now, again, I know there's a few fruit flies around at the moment, so maybe that's going to be tricky at this time of the year. But there's a lot of research.
Good source of protein.
Maybe not. But if you are, you know, if you see the fruit in the fruit bowl, children are more likely to go for it. And that's, again, back to the whole environment and the food environment that children see.
OK, you know as well as I do, though, that it is only roughly half the time that you will be in the kitchen when you hear the words, "Mum, I'm hungry." And it's when you're out and about that you end up in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is, you know, you go into, you might have all the best of intentions. You know, you're in the car, you're dropping a child off to camp and you haven't had anything to pop in their lunchbox. You know, they might be there for a few hours and you stop off in the local shop. And that's where you need a lot of willpower as a parent, because we know now, and in fact, Safe Food have just issued or started a campaign last month around this whole, the food environment being presented to us as parents and to our children, what our children see when they go into the supermarkets. And the numbers of advertisements that children see for, generally they're the unhealthy foods, at the kind of prime locations in the supermarkets would be the end of the aisle, you know, when you're going around with your trolley. And at the end of the aisle, you're 16 times more likely to see unhealthy foods in those positions. So it's really difficult to pull yourself back from that.
It's not just in the supermarkets. I was making a documentary for TV a number of years ago where we were putting me into an MRI machine to see how my brain would respond to images of junk food and ultra-processed food. And of course, like the little lab rat that I am, those parts of my brain
lit up
and they went, ooh, gimme. Yeah. But the researchers did something really interesting. They said, look, on your way here this morning to get into the MRI machine, will you count the number of images in advertising hoardings or in a shop window or whatever that you see of processed food? And just imagine that your brain is having the same response to each and every single one of those ads all the time. Do you know how many it was in the 2 hours that it took us to get there? 221 different images of food.
Of foods.
And each time...
And they're not fruit and vegetables.
No.
No, but, they're... Yeah.
And each time, you know, we are being prompted in an environment that we're just completely unaware of.
Exactly. And
what it's encouraging us to do.
And even you bring your children to get some exercise in a play centre, and what's on offer there, you know, loads of sweets, chocolates, unhealthy foods that children see and want you to buy. You go even now to a DIY store and you get to the till and they've chocolate at the till. Mm. You know, that's something that just was unheard of before. So it's this environment that I think we need to really challenge, because that's what we're seeing and that's what parents are kind of grappling against. And very often you go in, it's buy one, get one free. And again, they tend to be on the unhealthy options.
So don't blame yourself for being a little bit overweight, because part of that responsibility is the environment,
in
which you live.
You actually have to consciously make an effort, you know, to fight against all of this very clever marketing and the way food is laid out in supermarkets. And, you know, what children are seeing at their eye level, you know, when they go into a shop, things within reach are generally the very processed foods, which are fine from time to time. But, you know, it's every day that they're not suitable. When you think back to the guidelines for healthy eating for children, those foods are not everyday foods. They should be occasional foods. And we're talking about the fizzy drinks, cakes, sweets, crisps, biscuits, you know, they're things that children shouldn't be eating all day, every day, because it's setting them up really for unhealthier practices later on in terms of nutrition.
I would imagine that there are probably dentists listening to this conversation now whose eyes are rolling and just saying, no, cut out the snacks completely.
Yeah, well, dentists and dietitians, we are aligned on so many things, mm-hmm. but sometimes when it comes to snacking, because obviously every time you have a snack, you're going, that's more a food in your mouth, which the bacteria can act on and can, you know, create an acid that can affect your teeth. So the less food occasions in the day, the better. So certainly that's why grazing throughout the day doesn't appeal to dietitians or dentists. When it comes to the dentist, there are certain foods, things like cheese that I've mentioned quite a few times, is really good at kind of neutralizing the acidic environment in your mouth. So finishing a snack and having a little bit of cheese afterwards is really good nutritionally, also good for teeth. Also, nuts have the same effect. But again, you're right. If children are eating all day, and the child who gets a packet of sweets and eats it all in one go, you know, you might say, oh, you ate those sweets too quickly. Whereas that's better for your teeth than having a sweet every 15 minutes and making them last over 2 or 3 hours.
I never thought of that.
You know,
that's
the idea is, and keep the sweet snacks with the mealtime. So you're having your teeth are going to be exposed to sugar and starch in your meal anyway. Okay. So have the sweet food with your meal rather than, you know, throughout the day.
Because we are in the summer holidays, the drudgery, the absolute boredom of the lunchbox shouldn't be something that we have to consider. But because kids are going off to camps, so on,
yeah,
we
yeah.
do. One of your superpowers is lunchbox suggestions. Please give us a summertime one.
Well, I think it depends on the length of the day. Sometimes if the camp is really short, you know, sometimes children are just going for a couple of hours in the morning. So it's really just a snack to keep them going. They can come home at lunchtime and have their lunch at home. So you don't need to pack another selection. And again, keep it really simple. Back to fruit, carbohydrate. So that's some kind of bread or some type of pasta or a rice salad. It doesn't have to be, you know, the things you see on Instagram, that's not real life. You know, people are making these really elaborate lunchboxes and carving, you know, flowers out of pieces of fruit. You know, that's not what we would recommend. Again, for children, depending on their age, they can get involved in making it themselves. Maybe a packet of popcorn if they want to have something that's kind of like a nice treat. Popcorn is going to be better. There's more fiber in there, better for you than kind of the more crisps and the kind of very salty, more high fat foods. You know, things like chocolates, keep those out of the snack boxes. They're not necessary. And again, a lot of children now are going to sports and they get, you know, a treat or this kind of word of a sweet food afterwards. You know, very often, or the fizzy drinks, I think that people are aware now that they're not something that's advisable. Keep the water bottle going. And that's something that children are now quite used to doing. Put it in a fun, colourful water bottle for younger children. Put in a few cubes of ice in it and keeps it nice and cold for them. And just kind of keep it simple. Fruit and vegetables are really great. Wholemeal bread, a scone, a slice of fruit brack, kind of, you know, so the raisins as well, dried okay. fruit are really good as well to include in lunchboxes.
51551. Hi, Philip. My children have been given treats every day at camp over the past 2 weeks. It's driving me mad. I don't give them treats regularly. I don't know when all of this started. They're only 5 and 4 years of age,
okay.
says Chloe.
Yeah.
Chloe, hold the line, stare at them until you can see the whites of the eyes. Don't give an inch.
But it's very difficult. If the child is coming out with a packet of jellies or a chocolate bar from the camp, it's very difficult to prize that out. Now, you can't say, look, we'll put them all together and we'll have it at the weekend or watching a family movie or whatever.
Or give them to daddy.
Or maybe say to the people in the camp, give them to daddy, when have them on the QT when they're not watching. But I think, you know, say to them in the camp and say, look, is this something that's really necessary? Because it has become the norm. And I really agree with Chloe that it's not something that was done, you know, certainly when my children were going, when my children were very young, they're older now. And I do see it creeping in a lot. And it's something that it's part of this whole food environment. And I do think as parents, you know, we need to step up and say, look, we really don't need this. There are enough occasions for children to be having treats. And yes, it's nice for someone to give them something. But what about giving, you know, stickers? What about, you know, at the end of the week, having a raffle for something which is not a sweet food? Something that is another thing that children like, you know, getting a magazine. Children like getting, you know, kind of colourful pencils. There's lots of other things that are nice to give to children that aren't food. What you're shaking your head there, Philip. Do you think it's a hard one to crack?
No. I just think stickers are the devil's work, Louise Reynolds, and you should not.
Children love
that alternative. Yes, that's not the point. They're still the devil's work. Louise Reynolds, INDI, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, Philip.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.